Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so happy that you're interested in Bible study and that you join us each week. Thank you for listening. This morning, I want to talk about adoption. I want to talk about adoption in the physical realm in our society today a little bit. And then I want to talk about how that God wants to adopt you into his family. And that's a very loving and meaningful thing that he wants you to be a part of his spiritual family. And what I hope to get out of this study is this, that if you have not been adopted, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a son of God, I hope that this would encourage you to become one today. Let's study. Let's learn the Word of God. Let's learn the plan of salvation so that we can baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins and be adopted into that great family of God. But also, if you are a Christian, I hope that this lesson will give you a greater appreciation of the spiritual family that you're in. And as we appreciate what we have, we would live each day thankful for what we have, working hard to remain faithful in that family, and never give up on that great spiritual family that we have. So let's look this morning at what Paul talks about as being adopted as sons of God. I am told that in the state of Tennessee, last year in the state of Tennessee, there were about 9,104 children in the foster care program here in the state of Tennessee, 9,104. And out of that 9,104, 1,165 exited the program through adoption. So about 12% of the children last year in foster care were adopted into homes. And that roughly matches the national percentage rate or the national average. Last year in our nation, there were 328,963 children recorded in foster care. And about 14% of those children exited through adoption, 46,935. So 12%, 14%. The state Tennessee average roughly matches that of the national average, where 12 to 14% of children are adopted out of foster care, given, hopefully, a loving, caring home and family to be with. I know I was blessed not to have been given up at birth or given up later in life. My parents loved me and wanted me to be with them. But that is not always the case. Many come into this world or sometime thereafter, they are adopted out for whatever reason. There's a whole host of reasons for that. A lot of those reasons are selfish on the part of the mother or the father. Some of them may not be. But often, an infant, a newborn, or maybe a small child or someone later is adopted. And there are many loving couples, mothers and fathers, who want to adopt children. I want to talk about how that Paul is the only one that I know of in the New Testament that uses this word and this expression to talk about being adopted into God's family. And when I talk about the parallels between physical adoption and being adopted into God's family, and I want to talk about why that is important for you today, friend, that someone loves you, God loves you, and God wants you to be a part of his family. I can only imagine, of course, an infant would not be experiencing this, but a small child or someone older or maybe even a teenager, they just want someone to love them. They want someone to take them in and love them. And God does that. God loves the world. And he sent his son to die on the cross, the well-known John 3:16. So let's talk about being adopted. First of all, I want to talk about some parallels between physical adoption and God's adoption into his family, and then we're going to look at some Bible verses and some principles that we can gain from that. First of all, adoption is where you are united with a loving family. And of course, when we become a Christian, we're united with Christ. When you are adopted, you are now given an inheritance. You will stay in that family. And whereas before you had nothing coming to you necessarily, now you do. You have an inheritance. And the same is true when we become a Christian, a child of God. We have a spiritual inheritance. We have many blessings now. Answered prayer, forgiveness of sins, being around other faithful Christians. We have help from God. And, of course, one day our home in heaven. So we have an inheritance. Another parallel between these things is assurance and access and care. When a child is adopted, especially when they're older and they know a lot about what's going on, they now have an assurance that someone's going to care for me and someone's going to take care of me. I have access to a family that will provide for me physically and emotionally and otherwise, give me an education, give me a bed to sleep in and a roof over my head and clothing and food and care. And the same is true when we become a Christian. We have that assurance of being with someone who loves us. We have access to God in Christ. We have their care. They're watching care over us. Another thing that happens with regard to adoption that I can think of is transformation. Our life changes. And what our life could be or would be changes. I know of a Christian couple. They're in their 40s now. I've known them a good part of their life, going all the way back to when they were teenagers. And they have adopted three children. They have one biological child and three adopted children. And those three adopted children were all brothers from the same mother many years ago. And that mother was a drug addict. And each time she got pregnant and was delivering her baby, she was on drugs. And that had been her past. And she continued that in her lifetime. And so when this young Christian couple adopted each of these boys, they already, just at birth, were giving those children a transformation from most likely a terrible life that they would have led otherwise. It's a big change physically and emotionally and otherwise in a child's life when they are adopted. And I just saw a picture of this family just the other day, and those three boys taken out of a very terrible situation has been given a Christian environment to live in, and the transformation is so grand from what they would have experienced to what they have now. Another parallel in this matter of adoption is that of identity and security. You're not floating around without having parents. You're not floating around without an identity. You're now given a name, and you're given a home, and you're given security. That's what God wanted from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, a man and a woman, not two men, not two women, infants and babies and children and preteens and teenagers. They need the balance of a male and female figure in their life. That's what God has made from the very beginning. And you have this security and you have this identity. Well, the same is true when we become a Christian. We're named. We're given a name and we're given a spiritual identity and we're given security. Security from the world and from the devil. We're given things to help us be taken care of spiritually and even physically. God takes care of our physical needs. And then last of all, a parallel that I can think of is that of family and unity. We're not out by ourselves anymore. We are brought in with a family. That's what God has intended from the very beginning. We are social beings. We're not meant to come into this world and just live isolated lives out on an island somewhere. We are supposed to have a mother and a father, and we're supposed to be unified. And adoption gives us those things. So union, inheritance, assurance, transformation, identity, family, and unity. These are all things that are provided in a physical adoption, and they are also provided in things that require or things that come about through God adopting us as his children. So let's take some time this morning to look at the Apostle Paul and what he has to say about this. We'll look at some Bible verses where he uses the word adoption. It's not used that many times. He uses it 5 times in the New Testament, and one of them has to do with Old Testament Israel in Romans 9 and verse 4. Paul writes, "Who are Israelites, whose is the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises." Paul is listing various blessings of Old Testament Israel there in Romans 9, 4, and he mentions whose is the adoption. They were chosen by God when he brought them out of the nation of Israel. He had chosen the patriarchs before them, and then, of course, when he brought them out. And in Exodus 4, in verse 22, Moses was to say to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I have said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Israel is my son." And so the Israelites were adopted. They were God's people, his children, his sons, and Christians are today. So let's look at these 4 places where Paul uses this with regard to Christians, and let's see what we can learn from that. In the same book of Romans, if you want to back up just 1 chapter, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul is describing in this chapter what it means to walk by the Spirit, walk and be guided by the words of the Holy Spirit. And if we are willing to do that, we have some blessings that will come from that. So Paul writes in Romans 8 and verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We're not going to live the way we want and what we feel and think. For if we live after the flesh, we must die spiritually. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live spiritually. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him." So notice, first of all, Paul says that if we are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In order to become a son of God that's been adopted into his family, I've got to be willing to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads everyone today through his words. And so I've got to be willing to hear them, read them, obey them. That's the first step to becoming adopted. I've got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in the gospel. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So are you willing to be led by the Spirit in order to become a son of God and remain a son of God? Verse 15, "For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear." God doesn't want us to have this spirit of bondage attitude of being in bondage to sin and in fear of facing God in judgment, the fear of not having our sins forgiven, the fear of not obeying God, the fear of not being pleasing to God. God doesn't want us to get up each day with that spirit of bondage unto fear. He doesn't want us to have that thinking. And young children, and even as they get older, sometimes a teenager who needs to be adopted, they're fearful. They're fearful that they'll go through life never being loved and never being cared for. That's not how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. But look at this. But you receive the spirit of adoption, the attitude, the thinking, the mindset of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba was an Aramaic word in the New Testament, kin to our papa or daddy or dada. It was a word meaning a close relationship with my father. And a child has a close relationship with its father. It's supposed to. And we might say daddy or papa. And that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to get up each day and live in fear. He wants us to have this attitude of, I've been adopted into God's family, and I can cry out, Abba, Father. I can go to God as if he's my close daddy and call on him to help me. Verse 16, how does this happen? Well, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit tells us in his word what it takes to become a child of God. And when I do that, then the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. The Holy Spirit, in the words of the gospel, tells me that I have obeyed those words when I've done that, and I can say I'm a child of God. I don't say I'm a child of God by just simply saying it. I say I'm a child of God when I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do in his word. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's what I said earlier. One of the blessings of being adopted physically is that we now have an inheritance. Our parents are going to lay up things for us that we will have later in this life. Sometimes we will have them now. Sometimes we will have them later. But we have a spiritual inheritance now with God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. We can rule and reign with him. We can be brethren with him, as the Hebrew writer says. And that's a wonderful thing. I would encourage you, friend, to do that in your life. Now, he goes on to say that we might have to suffer, but we will be glorified in the end in heaven if we are willing to do that. But before we leave this Romans 8:15, you can also jump down to verse 23 that in the future we're going to, Paul says, wait for the adoption, the redemption of our body. There's even going to be a change in our earthly body to a heavenly body. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul uses the word adoption again in a eschatological way. At the end of time, our bodies will be redeemed and we will be given that heavenly body. And so that adoption process will come in a completion when that heavenly body is given. But before we leave this Romans 8 passage, I wanted to just back up in the very same book, and this is a point I would like to make in all of the passages where Paul mentions this idea of adoption, in the very same book, and in the case of Ephesians 1 that we'll get to in a minute, it's in the same chapter, Paul tells us how this adoption process takes place. There are steps that are taken. There are rules that are followed. Just like in the state of Tennessee and other states, if you want to adopt a child, there's paperwork that has to be filled out. There's a waiting period. There's a background check. There's money that has to be pay. There's rules that have to be followed. People have to come and inspect your home, and there's all these different things that have to take place. You don't just go to an adoption agency, pick out a child, and go home with it the same day. Because the relationship is so grave and serious, the responsibility level is very serious, the maturity level is very serious, it takes the right person to do it, it takes the right income, is this child going to be taken care of? There's all of these state laws that have to be followed, and for good reason. The same is true, friends, with regard to being adopted into God's family. There are steps that have to be taken. And when Paul talks about in Romans 8, how that we can have this spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father, two chapters earlier, he tells you how that takes place. In Romans 6 and verse 2, or verse 3, or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. We've got to be buried with Christ in baptism. In the same book, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we've got to believe. And look at what he says, to everyone that believes. Believes what? Believes the gospel. So we have to hear the gospel and believe it, Romans 1:16. We have to be baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. In the same book, in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not faith only, like so many denominations teach today, because that would rule out chapter 6. Paul said in chapter 10 that we have to believe and confess Christ, but earlier in chapter 6 he said we must be buried with Christ in baptism. So all of these things are necessary. So let's hear the gospel. Let's believe it. Let's confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul says in Romans chapter 2 that we have to be willing to repent and turn our back on sin. Romans 2 verse 4, the long suffering of God and the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. So I've got to hear the gospel and believe it, Romans 1:16. I've got to be willing to repent of my sins, Romans 2:4. I've got to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And I've got to be willing to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of our sins, Romans 6:3-4. And so, right in there, in chapter 8, Paul says that when we do that, we can now have this spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, where Paul uses this word again. In Galatians chapter 4, talking about Christians. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law. Look at this. That he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is the same as Romans 8:15. But that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. These two verses read almost exactly like Romans 8:15, 16, 17. So, we can receive the adoption as sons. But look at it. In the very same book where Paul wrote that, if you back up just one chapter, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Yes, we need to believe in Christ Jesus, but that's not all there is. That belief and faith leads us to be baptized. The very next verse, Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be neither male nor female, for you are all one man in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." And just a few verses later, he writes that you have received the adoption as sons. How did that come about? Belief and baptism. Faith and baptism here in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. So friends, just like there are rules and laws and conditions and stipulations that are met for adopting a child physically, the same is true for God adopting us into His spiritual family. And I would encourage you to do those things while you have an opportunity to do them. And then last of all, turn with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Ephesians 1, 5, Paul writes, "Having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Well, Paul, how does that happen? Well, if you come down just a few verses down to verse 13, "In whom," that is in Jesus, "you also," look at this, "having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So again, it goes back to hearing the gospel and believing it. And with regard to the Ephesians, when you go back to Acts chapter 19 and you see the work that Paul did there at Ephesus, and he baptized individuals there at Ephesus into the Lord's body, you see that baptism, belief in baptism, just like we've read everywhere else, was a part of the Ephesians coming into Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, "The church," the people, "they have been cleansed by the washing of water," there's baptism, "with the word," obedience to the word. Well, friends, you can be adopted. What a great thing to now have a heavenly Father, whereas before we did not. Now we have a name. We can be a Christian. Disciples were called Christians, Acts 11, 26. We can have a name now, whereas before we did not. We have the privileges of being in a family, whereas before we did not. We have an inheritance, and we have care, and we have security, and we have unity now, whereas before, we did not. Friends, if I can help you to be adopted, to become a son of God, let me help you to do that. Let's get together and study, baptize you into Christ, and make that happen. And as a child of God, let us keep living faithfully, and so that we can experience daily that adopted status of God's family. Thank you for being with me today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.